It is really good to be here with you this morning. The weather's not the best we've ever seen. They say it's going to get worse, but we live in Alabama and it'll get better. So that's just the way things are. But it is good for you to be here. I appreciate your presence very much. And those that have joined us online, we're glad that you've joined us online. I want to begin by saying Happy Valentine's Day. Those of you that know me well know I am a hopeless romantic. And some of the best Valentine's Day that I can ever remember is going to the Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky. And if you've never seen my wife excited, you should watch her at the National Truck and Tractor Pull. She can jump up and down and scream for a John Deere and for a Chevrolet truck. So she loves those things. And you wouldn't think that just looking at her. She doesn't look like she would be the kind that would, but she does. She really does. Ask Jimmy. He can tell you. If you don't think that one man can spend an hour and a half looking at one trailer, then you never went with Jimmy Walker to the Farm Machinery Show because he could do it. But we had some wonderful times. And as I think about some of the Valentine's days that we've had, and we've had some really good ones. And we said at the beginning of the year we were going to talk about building godly homes, and I figured what better time to do that than on Valentine's Day. And so I want us to do that. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded that Jensen and Adam do our bulletin, and back some time ago, Jensen said that she had written a book with Adam's help on the subject of marriage, and I have to admit that my first thought was somewhat skeptical. After they had been married 1 year, she was already writing a book about it, and I have to admit I laughed. And then I read the book. And she said something about when they got back from the honeymoon, and again, I sort of laughed, and I thought, well, you'll get back from the honeymoon in about 6 more years, and then you'll wake up one day and say it's over. But anyway, if you have not read her book, and this is a free advertisement for Jensen and Adam, if you've not read their book, you need to read it. If you are married, it is very good, and if you are planning on being married, you need to read the book. I was reminded as I read it, what my daddy said one time when he preached a sermon before he got married. He preached a sermon about raising children. Somebody came out and said, well, what do you know about raising kids? You don't even have any. You've never even been married. He says, no, but I can tell you what the Bible says. And if you'll read her book and their book, she's primarily responsible. That's why I keep saying hers. But anyway, he added some stuff. But the fact is, it's based on what the Bible teaches. And if you'll read it, I think you'll be benefited from it and profit by it. So I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't. But we are glad you're here. I want to talk about building godly homes, and we'll talk this morning about quality time. In the book of Ephesians, beginning in chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, Paul says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When Paul wrote this, he lived in some of the most ungodly times that mankind has ever known. The Roman Empire was an extremely wicked world in which to live. And today, as we look around in our country and we see so much ungodliness and so much immorality and so many things that concern those who want to do what's right, we live in an ungodly world and the days are evil. And so we want to talk about building godly homes even in a very ungodly world. And I believe that one of the things that will do this is learning what it means and learning to use quality time. I'll give you a good example of what is not quality time. That's sitting and playing a game on your phone for 2 hours. That's not quality time. That's a waste of time. And I have to admit that I do my share of that as well. But as we think about quality time, the first thing that comes to my mind is that time is fleeting, and that each second and then each minute passes, and before we realize it, hours have gone by, and then days, and then weeks, and then months, and then years, and it does not stop, it does not wait, it just keeps on moving. And the thing about time is that no matter how we use it, no matter how good we may use it or how much we may waste it, that moment that is gone will never come again. It's gone. And once that moment is passed, it is passed forever. Now, this is true for husbands and wives, because there are some that death comes prematurely, much too soon. For others, we get old together, and we wake up one day and we look and we realize that our lives are pretty much gone, because time does not wait. But time is fleeting also for our children and our grandchildren. I remember so well when Laura Lynn was born, and she was real tiny at the time, and Brian came out, and I said, "Brian, it won't be but just a few days, and some dude's going to pull up on a Harley and blow the horn and want Laura Lynn to come out." He said, "She ain't going to date till she's 35. I said, "Yeah, we'll see." She's not 35, and she's talking about getting married now. So, but anyway, the fact is, I told him, I said, "It'll go by so quickly." I said, "Enjoy every moment of it." Because when we have our children, they're babies, and then the next thing you know, you turn around and they're toddlers. And before you realize it, they're in preschool, and then they're in school, and then they're teenagers. And the next thing you know, they're young adults. And we begin to wonder what happened. Because it seems like only yesterday that they were born. And yet now they have children of their own. But we also have to understand that sometimes our children are born and they die young. And while probably one of the worst nightmares that any parent can have is losing a child, it does happen. And for many of us, we have seen that. And so it is, time moves on. Or sometimes the children are healthy, but the parents, one or both, leave this world before the children are grown. And so our children and our grandchildren are only 3 years, 6 months, and 12 days for one day. That's all. The next day, they are 3 years, 6 months, and 13 days. It is simply true that we must make the most of each moment and use it wisely. And so Paul says, make the most of your time. As I think about making the most of our time, one of the first things that comes to my mind is that we need to take time to study the Bible. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to study the Bible together individually, but we also need to study the Bible together as a family. And whatever family that may be, if we have family living with us, we need to spend some time together, whether it's just a husband and a wife, or if it's children involved, or whatever the case may be. We need to spend time individually, but we need to spend time as a family studying the Bible together. We need to spend time both individually, and it's important to do it alone, but it is also important that we do it as a family praying together. And we need to not just read the Bible, and we need to not just pray, but we need to learn to teach as we teach our children, as we teach our spouse, as we teach our friends, as we teach our neighbors, as we teach so many people around us. We need to understand that quality time involves sharing what we know about God and about God's Word with other people. And it means that we continue to learn. We learn life's lessons. We learn how to apply the Word of God that we have studied. We learn how to be what God wants us to be. But you know, God does not expect us to be serious all the time. In fact, the Proverbs say that laughter is like medicine for the soul. And so there are times that we need to laugh, and there are times that we need to be filled with joy, and we need to just let go and enjoy life. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about this in a number of places. There is a time to cry. And as a family, as husband and wife, even as an individual, there's a time that we cry. We need to take time to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes, probably more often than I actually do, but there are times that I need to ask Diane to forgive me for things I've done or said or the way I've acted or something else. And we need to learn and take time to ask for forgiveness. As parents, when we have made mistakes with our children, we need to never be afraid to ask our children to forgive us if we have done something that's not right with our children. Because I can assure you, as parents, we make mistakes. And sometimes we need to, and I can assure you also that your children will respect you and appreciate you a whole lot more for asking them to forgive you than they will if you act like you had never done anything wrong. And so we need to learn to ask for forgiveness, but we also need to learn to forgive. This comes easier for some people than it does others. It's easy for some people to say, somebody says, "I'm sorry," and they say, "Okay, I forgive you," and they just forget about it and let it go, and it's as though it never even happened, and you don't ever bring it up again, and it's gone. There are other people that it keeps coming back up, and it keeps coming back up, and they have to really work hard to be able to forgive somebody. But the fact is, it doesn't matter whether it's easy or hard. We are instructed in God's Word that we are to learn to forgive other people just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. And so learning to forgive is a very important part of quality time. All of us have things that we like to do, and it is good to use our time to accomplish things. It may be baking a cake. It may be redecorating the house. It may be mowing the yard. It may be something on our job at work. It may be making some new discovery that's going to change the world. But whatever our accomplishment is, we need to take time to accomplish things that are worthwhile and then enjoy our accomplishments. I've told you before that there's been more than one time that I've spent the day working in my yard and I get everything looking really good, and then I get in my car and drive around the block so I can come back and look at it. I enjoy that. I like for it to look good. But you know, the fact is, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that we have accomplished in life. And the wise man tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, there's nothing better than to do the work of your hands and enjoy the accomplishments that you have made. And so it is good for us to do that. And that is quality time. We need to take time to take care of ourselves. And that's important. It means that we need to take time for physical exercise, if we can do that at all. Some people are not able to, but what to the extent that we can, we need to physically exercise and take care of our physical bodies. It is the temple of God. We need to take care of ourselves mentally by putting the right things in our minds and using our minds as much as we possibly can for as long as we can. We need to learn to take care of ourselves emotionally and learn to care and love and make decisions and be strong emotionally. And certainly, most of all, we need to take care of ourselves spiritually as we feed ourselves spiritually, as we share what we have learned, and as we exercise the spiritual truths that we have put into our minds. And so this is quality time when we do these things. We should learn to embrace and enjoy the moment, no matter what the circumstances we're facing. How many times have you heard people say, stop and smell the roses? Unless you go buy some, you probably won't do that today, because there's not many roses blooming out there. But we can enjoy what we do have. And so we need to make the most of our time, both individually and as a family. And this is a part of using quality time. And so when Paul says, make the most of your time, he's not talking about some particular thing in that context, but he's talking about generally, just use your time wisely to do the things that need to be done. And a part of that is having fun in life as well as handling the things that are serious. We must realize that each moment of each day, we're teaching something to someone. And so in verse 15 he says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And there is nothing more powerful in our lives than the example that we are leaving for other people. And all of us are setting an example for other people. When I think of Diane's daddy, one of the first things that comes to my mind every time, he was very frugal, and so he didn't like to turn the lights on unless it got really dark. And so you would walk in his house and he would be sitting in his recliner and he would be holding his Bible in his recliner, leaning over like this where the light from the window would shine in, and he would be reading his Bible. And I couldn't tell you the number of times that I walked in that house and he was sitting there reading his Bible. In the summertime, very often when you came, he was sitting out under a tree. And he would have a stick of cedar and he would take his knife and he would whittle that piece of cedar and he would shave it so thin that it would just curl up in a tight little curl. And that's because he had taken the time to learn how to sharpen a knife. And he had two ways of testing if a knife was sharp. First of all, he would take his arm, and if he could shave the hair on his arm, it was pretty good. The other thing is he would take a piece of paper, and if he could just slice that piece of paper down the middle, holding it just like that, then his knife was sharp enough. And it wasn't. He went back to work sharpening his knife. And you see, what that told me was that some things mattered to him and some things were important. And yes, studying God's Word was one of them, but there were other things that were important to him too. And so I realized that what we do, we are to do the very best we can, because we're setting an example for others. And we're helping build and we're helping form the character of those people who are watching us. And it may be our spouse, it may be our children, it may be our neighbor's kids, it may be our grandchildren, but whoever it is, we are helping to form and develop their character, whether it be for good or bad, but it is for one or the other. I have a brother, Henry, who has been a coach since he finished junior high school, and he's older than I am now. He's been coaching a long time, still is. He's coached girls volleyball, he's coached girls softball, he's coached boys basketball, he's coached I don't know what all else, but he has coached a lot of things over the years. And it's not unusual for me to be out somewhere and somebody will see me and they'll say, look at me, or hear him say my name, and they'll say, you Ken Henry Fudge? And I say, yes, my brother. And they'll say, well, he coached me back so and so, or he coached my daughter, and now they're saying he coached my granddaughter. But he's been coaching for a long time. But you know what, if you ask Henry, what do you coach? His standard reply is, I coach kids. It doesn't matter what the sport is, he is doing his best to try to teach them how to live a good life and a godly life. Coaches mean so much to us. I remember my high school coach, Billy Joe Thrasher. And if I were to give you the top three people that have had the most influence on my life for good, he is always in the top three. You see, we are setting an example for others. And as we build skills in others and help them to build their skills, we're also building relationships that are so important. And we need to remember that we are either building or tearing down a relationship every moment of every day. And we're always teaching those around us, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, or if it's somebody else that we're associated with, we are teaching them our priorities and our values and teaching them what is important and what's not. As we think about quality time, I want to say that husbands and wives need to have quality time together. And that means just the two of you alone. That means no kids, no grandkids, no parents, no brothers, no sisters. Just the two of you alone, and it means without a telephone, without a tablet, without a computer, without a TV, just the two of you all alone so you can actually talk to each other. And that is extremely important if you're going to have a good relationship. And then not only do we need to talk to each other, but we need to learn to listen to each other. And that means then as we talk and we actually learn to listen and hear what they are saying, that we can share our ideas, we can share our hopes, our plans, our dreams, our joys, our troubles, our likes, and our dislikes. It is amazing to me how two people can live in the same house for years together and never have a clue about what the other person likes or dislikes. When Diane and I were married about 25 years, give or take a few, we had some friends that we had been friends with since we had been married, and she was friends with the lady even before, back when they were kids, before we were married. And one day we were sitting around talking, and as we were talking about various things we liked to eat and things we didn't like to eat and so on, she said, "My husband likes cauliflower, and I've been fixing it for him at least once a week ever since we've been married." And he looked at her and he said, "I can't stand cauliflower. Never have liked it." He said, "I just eat it to keep from hurting your feelings and I didn't want to make you mad." 25 years he's been eating this stuff he don't like. Just because he never said, "Honey, I don't like it." You see, we need to learn to share how we really feel about things. I don't think Diane and I ever had that problem of not telling one we didn't saw what we didn't like that. Parents and children need to have quality time together. And if there's multiple children in the family, I would strongly suggest that you take the time to have just one child sometimes. Just you and that child. So that you can really spend some time together, without a phone, without a tablet, without a computer, without a TV, without video games, nothing to distract, just simply with each other so that you can talk to each other. And you can learn to listen. We need to share our ideas, our hopes, our plans, our dreams, our joys, our troubles, our likes, and our dislikes. And we need to listen to our children as they share these with us so that we can truly come to know them and they can appreciate us. And I want to suggest that those of you who are adult children, if your parents are still alive, please take time for your parents without a phone, without a tablet, without a computer, a TV, video game, or anything else, and just actually talk to each other and share with them. And even if you feel like maybe they didn't always have time for you, at least on some regular basis, take the time to make a phone call to them or a visit. And I can promise you it will mean more than you can possibly imagine until you're in their place one day. And you're sitting there all alone wishing that your child will give you a call. Many of you can appreciate the fact of what it would mean to be able to call your mother or talk to your daddy just one more time. Whatever stage of life you're in, whatever place in the family, take time to talk to each other. Learn to listen, and really listen, and let it soak in. Value the other person's feelings. Listen to their ideas and their accomplishments. They are important to them and they should be important to you as well. And when there are times that we don't agree, then we need to learn to discuss our differences openly. That means both talking and listening. And not listening to try to answer or rebut what the other is saying, but really listening to what the other person is saying. And both talking and listening honestly, and also doing it with love, and doing it with humility, because you know it is possible that you are wrong. And I need to never forget when I'm in a discussion or with a disagreement with anybody, whether it's family or otherwise, that it is possible that I am the one that's wrong. And so I should always approach any kind of conversation, and especially one in which there's a disagreement, with the utmost humility. As a family, we must always be guided by the will of God as revealed in His Word. And so Paul says in verse 17, "So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I'm not going to take the time to do it this morning, but if you will read chapters 4 through 6, you will see all kinds of applications that Paul makes of seeking the will of the Lord for us as individuals and for us as families. There's a song that was written named "Daddy, Will You Be There For Me?" It was written by a man named Michael Overholt. I'm going to read the words to this song this morning. I want you to listen to what it says, because I believe it really encapsulates the entire lesson in the words of this song. "Daddy, will you be there for me when I wake up in the night? When I cannot close my eyes and sleep, will you rock me, hold me tight? We drive my tractor on the floor and pitch my balls and push my swing. May I come to you with broken toys, will you mend my broken things? Will you be there, will you love my mommy and hug me every day? Oh, Daddy, Daddy, will you be home at night and teach me how to pray? When you come home from your work at night, Daddy, then I want you near. There are problems that are big to me. Will you stop and give your ear? I don't care if you're rich or poor. I just want to have your heart. I just want to know that you're my friend. I'll try to do my part. Will you be there when I have a problem and I need to share? Oh, Daddy, Daddy, will you be there for me? Will you really care? Daddy, will you be there for me when I need someone to care, when I face this life's complexities and I'm ready to despair? Am I more to you than anything? Do you love me? I'm your child. May I come to you with broken dreams when I'm broken and defiled? Will you be there? Will you guide me? Will you help me to forgive? Oh, Daddy, Daddy, will you be there for me? Teach me how to live. Daddy, will you be there for me when I face my setting, son? When I stand before the judgment seat, will I hear those words? well done. Well, you have taught me right from wrong. Will your teaching stand the test? Will I enter into heaven's land with my Lord forever blessed? I'm depending on you, Daddy, and I hope you understand. Oh, Daddy, Daddy, you are my gift from God. Take me. Hold my hand. Parents are a gift to their children. And Psalms 127:3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do pray that you will help us to make the most of our time and to use it wisely. Help us remember that we are teaching every moment of our life. So help us to teach the right things, the right priorities, the right attitudes. And help us to be all you want us to be. Bless our families, bless our homes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The best use of our time is to become a Christian. And this morning, if you're here and you are not a child of God, I would urge you to take this time that God has given you and give Jesus your heart and your life. Come to Him in faith, and upon that confession of faith, be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven. If you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.